Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Well, later this week, of course, Americans across the country celebrate Thanksgiving, this American celebration of bounty and thankfulness. Of course, not everyone will be as fortunate. More than 46 million Americans live below the poverty line. This country has the highest child poverty rate in all of the developed world. One of those children is 10-year-old Kaylee. Listen.
When I feel just like hungry, I feel like I'm so like sad and all droopy, and then I'll feel like weak, and then some in the mornings I'll be like so starving, but then I don't think of food, and then I'll just think of something else, and then I'll not be hungry anymore.
Here's Kaylee's 12-year-old brother. His name is Tyler.
There's good days and bad days. Sometimes when we have cereal, we don't have milk. We have to eat it dry. Sometimes we don't have cereal and we have milk. It's often like switch and swap.
Of course, poverty isn't just about hunger. It's also about basic needs. And for many kids, their houses lack utilities like hot water or heat.
One day I tried getting in the shower and it was cold. I put the hot on all the way and no cold, and it was freezing. It felt like shoving your face in a bunch of snow. It was freezing.
That voice belongs to Brittany, and she, along with Kaylee and Tyler, are just a few of the kids featured in a new documentary produced by our partner WGBH in Boston. The film is called Poor Kids. It airs on PBS stations tonight on Frontline. Well, Jezza Newman is the film's producer and director, and I talked with him about the experience of these kids, in particular what it's like to grow up with the stigma of being poor.
That was why I wanted to make this film through the children's perspective, because you can't blame children for the situations they're in. With a film like this, people will want to proportion blame to the parents, but this is about these kids and these kids' life and how they see their life and how they see their aspirations. What I really drew from my experience here in America was there is still such a strong work ethic, and there is a real embarrassment to go and ask for handouts. And these families are just the sort of micro stories of a bigger picture. You know, they're not alone out there. There's hundreds of families I've met from New York, New Jersey, over to San Francisco, down to Dallas, across to Phoenix. I've been to all those places and I've met families just like this who had jobs, are desperate to have a job, but can't for one reason or another. And the trouble is, the longer this goes on, the harder it becomes. So that the right now, I feel there is a generation of American children who are living with a work ethic because their parents had it and still want it. But if they don't get lifted, if they don't get a little bit of a help out of the rut they're in, then you may well get the first generation of generational poverty.
One of the boys in your story, Jezza Newman, which was so remarkable, a boy who likes to play football, who stares at the camera at one point and says, "I'm 14. Football's expensive, so I can't afford to play. But if I don't play next year, I'm going to lose my shot." And he says, even, "It's not just that I want to play football. My dream is slipping away year by year." And this is a child saying this.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the tragedy. And that's one of the key issues. When people fall into poverty, it's well known that aspirations drop. And the reality is education, particularly in this country, is incredibly expensive. So, and they're aware of this. You know, these are kids who are well aware of what options there are out there and what it costs to get them. You know, is it really realistic that Kaylee will become a famous singer or a famous dancer? The truth is, if Kaylee was supported to become a singer or a dancer right now, it is possible. Anything's possible. If Johnny gets to play football, it is totally possible that he could become the NFL player he wants to become. But the trouble is, at the moment, it's unlikely he's going to get that support that he needs to be able to do that.
You can follow the stories of all of these kids through the new Frontline documentary, Poor Kids. It airs tonight on PBS stations. Jezza Newman is the film's producer and director. Well, when you watch Poor Kids, you'll notice that it doesn't have a whole lot of statistics, not a lot of hard numbers. It's really just kids speaking for themselves. That's what makes it so powerful. But we do want to continue the conversation now with some hard numbers and some of the troubling facts about the 21% of U.S. children who live below the poverty line in our own country. Chrissy Clark is senior reporter for Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk. She joins us from Los Angeles. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
So, Chrissy, child poverty has been on the rise since 2001. We know that. Why?
Well, it's a good question, especially given what a relatively wealthy country the U.S. is. I think one of the easiest ways to understand what's going on is to look at the forces driving child poverty and look at the forces pushing against it. And really, at any given moment, the child poverty rate's kind of a reflection of how those two things are balancing out. So in the early 2000s, child poverty hit a historic low, and that low was largely thanks to a strong economy and federal policies that expanded in the late 1990s that supported low-wage workers with children. But since that 2001 low, child poverty rates have been on a pretty steady incline. That's largely due to a handful of underlying forces that those anti-poverty policies just can't overcome. One big thing is that across the country, people are facing stagnant wages while the cost of living rises. Another big thing is the rise of single-parent homes. One child poverty expert actually calculated that virtually all the increases in child poverty in the United States since the 1970s would vanish if parents still married at 1970s rates. So you have those things, also a struggling school system, millions of immigrants with poor education and low skills. You can think of all these as little engines that are kind of pushing the poverty rate up, especially among children.
So there have been plenty of currents that have pushed the child poverty rate up. It doesn't sound like there have been any government policies that used to help that have been taken away, like lower benefits or different poverty calculations that have sort of taken some of the downward pressure off?
Well, of course, the Great Recession has only made things harder in the last few years as well. And so that has reduced in many states and at federal levels the amount of help that is out there in terms of how easy it is to qualify for things like food stamps. So that's another pressure that's working against lifting people out of poverty.
Well, Chrissy Clark, I watched the same presidential campaign that you did, and presidential campaigns are about national problems and especially national priorities. With a fifth of U.S. children living below the poverty line, I don't know about you, but I barely heard child poverty mentioned once by either candidate, President Obama or Governor Romney.
Yeah, and that was something that people who think a lot about poverty and child poverty especially called the nominees on and really asked, what are you going to be doing about this only growing problem in the U.S.? And each eventually, once the candidates were kind of called to the mat on that, they did come out with a few ideas and a few policies, but it was largely absent from the debate.
Well, the election is over. We have a winner. We will see if child poverty and record rates of child poverty, at least in the modern era in this country, become part of the national conversation. Chrissy Clark, senior reporter for Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.